With so many options, why choose Arizona State University?
For me, the only online option was ASU because of the quality. Their faculty was really involved with their students and care about your personal journey. The dedication to my personal development from my professors, that's been extremely valuable to me.
Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university. Online. That's a degree better. Explore more than 350-plus undergraduate, graduate, and certificate programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Thank you so much for joining me. Tonight we're going to talk about the Trinity. And there's so many teachings out there. There's so many teachings about the Trinity that are so far off the beaten path. I watch live feeds and teachings on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, on all these different social media platforms, and I find that the Trinity is so misunderstood. There's many heresies that are being released right now, that are being taught right now about the Trinity that are so untrue, that are they're falsehoods, they're lies. Being concocted by the enemy and those operating in the flesh. So I want to teach on the Trinity tonight, and I want to give you the facts from the scripture, not from my own experiences, not from my own opinions, but from the scriptures, and I want to break it down in a way that you can understand. So the Trinity is a great mystery. It's a great mystery that we can't fully fathom. We won't understand it until we're on the other side, until we're in paradise with God forever. And we may still not fully understand it. But there are some things about the Trinity that we can understand from Scripture, and I want to speak about those tonight. So no one can fully understand all the things pertaining to God and His kingdom, but there are some things we can understand which help us to grasp God's nature and His character. So the Trinity, simply put, is God manifesting Himself in three different and distinct forms. Three different and distinct forms. Or God in three persons, not to be confused with three different people or three different gods, which many people who misunderstand this scripture, who misunderstand what the Trinity is, they think that we're talking about three gods. No, we're talking about three persons or three forms or manifestations of God in one. It's one God, three different manifestations or forms. So the Trinity consists of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's talk about the Father first. Let's talk about who the Father in heaven is. We find many scriptures about the Father in the Bible, but I'd like to point out a couple that reveal how the Father differs from the Son and the Holy Spirit. So 2 Corinthians 1:3. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1:3. It says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." So here we see that to Jesus, Yahweh is his God. Yahweh is his God and his Father because Jesus is both man and God. This is what makes him the Son. His humanity and his divinity are what sets him apart. He is fully man, fully God, and they dwell in the same vessel. We can dive deeper into the deity of Christ at another time, but my aim with this message specifically is to bring clarity regarding the Trinity. So let's continue. So the Father, all throughout the Bible, is referred to as God who is in heaven. God who is in heaven. You may not have realized this, but if you search the scriptures, you won't find one verse about the Father on earth. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he started the prayer with, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," and so on. It starts off with, "Our Father who is in heaven." So again, we find the Father being referred to as being in heaven. I believe that he wanted his disciples, Jesus wanted his disciples to understand the distinction between Father and Son as he taught about how to pray. He wanted them to understand that the Son, who is the Word of God, was present among them. And that the Father had sent out his Word to make himself known in a way that hadn't been possible until that point in time. So let's take a look at the first chapter of John, starting with the first verse. And John 1:1 says this. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's a clear distinction in this verse that identifies the Word apart from God and then identifies the Word as God. So the Son and the Father are one, and yet they're also separate manifestations of God. Let me say that again. The Son and the Father are one, and yet they're also separate manifestations of God. We should understand that God can manifest himself in any form that he pleases, in any form that he desires. You might ask the question, what does the Bible mean when it says Jesus is the Word of God? So let's look at Scripture. Once again, let's go to the Scriptures. It means that Jesus is considered to be the mind of God, the thoughts of God, or the reason of God, the logic of God. He is also the image of the invisible God. You can go to Colossians 1:15. You can find out a lot about the Trinity in Colossians chapter 1. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. So all things were made through Jesus and by Jesus, through the Word, by Jesus, by the Word, and for the Word. Hallelujah. To glorify the Father, but also in glorifying the Father, to glorify the Son. He formed reality. He created all things, because nothing could be created without the Word of God being released and spoken. God spoke all things into existence. He did this for a reason, because he used his Word to create. So every time you find God manifesting himself in a physical and tangible form or a physical and tangible way in the Bible, you find Jesus there. Hallelujah. That's a great revelation and a great mystery that is being revealed here. It's a great mystery that is being taught here through these scriptures, through what I'm reading to you, and through what God has revealed to me. And I pray that you pick up on this. I pray that you receive revelation and insight tonight. Oh, Lord God, teach. Lord, teach, Holy Spirit, teach. Lord, may your words be spoken and not my own, Lord. Lord, may you do a mighty work in the minds and the hearts of those that are watching tonight. So the angel of the Lord, let's talk about the angel of the Lord now. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is the pre-incarnate Christ. He was in the fiery furnace with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He was in the burning bush when he called Moses, and he appeared to Abraham by the terebinth trees in Genesis. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. So Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. Before them, his glory was revealed as it would be in heaven, as it eventually would be in heaven. In that moment, they saw him for who he was. They saw him in his fullness, and little did they know that they'd eventually see him in his resurrected body. And when they saw him after he was crucified, their faith was strengthened and established. And I say this because I want you to understand that the disciples had their doubts before the resurrection. But after the resurrection, there was no room for doubt. Hallelujah. And you know, today is Palm Sunday. Next week, we have Good Friday coming up. We have Resurrection Sunday coming up. And let us not forget that our Lord is risen. He is alive and well. He is seated at the throne, on the throne right now. He's at the right hand of the Father. Help us, God, to understand the resurrection power. And I close my eyes and I just, for a moment, I pray. Help us to understand the resurrection power that's available, and that we all have been in a place of doubt. But when God has shown us, he's revealed to us his Son. He's revealed to us the power manifestation of his glory through Jesus and what he's done. May that empower you. May that strengthen you. May that establish you in your own life and your own walk. He was right there with them. He was right there with his disciples. He was willing to show them his wounds. He was willing to reveal himself according to the scriptures. And he assured them that it would benefit them if he ascended to heaven. The reason for this is he would send them the promise of his Holy Spirit. So how many of you have received the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is pure and true and holy. Let's start there. There's no spirit like God's Spirit. I don't care what spiritual avenue you're going down, what kind of spiritual belief you're involved in, what kind of practice you're involved in. I'm telling you, if it's not the Holy Spirit, then it's not God's Spirit. Whether, you know, it may be an angelic spirit, which is one of God's angels, or it may be the Holy Spirit. Those are the only spirits that you want to partner with, that you want to work with, that you want involved in your life. But if it's not a spirit of God, if it's not pure and true and holy, you should rebuke it. You should flee from it. You should break away from it right now. I would challenge you to break away from any spirit that is not God's Spirit. And the Spirit of God always bears witness to the Word of God. The Word of God always bears witness to the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is received and deposited within a believer at the moment of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says this, "Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." As you develop a personal relationship with Jesus, you also develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that deposit is to assure you of your salvation, that eventually you'll be caught up to heaven with him, whether it be bodily or spiritually, whether your spirit goes to heaven before your body, or whether you're caught up in the rapture at the last day. So the Spirit draws us, dwells in us, and draws us to the truth of the gospel, as well as bearing witness to it. And as we get to know what it's like to dwell in the presence of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, we come to realize the contrast between God's Spirit and every other spirit. I thank God that I know His Spirit. I know His touch. I know His voice. I thank God that I know the voice of the Good Shepherd that called me, that set me on the path that I should walk, and the voice of the one who walks with me each and every day of my life. So now some believe the Holy Spirit is a force and that the Spirit of God shouldn't be considered the third person of the Trinity because they don't understand how the Holy Spirit could have a personality or emotions. Once again, let's go to the Scriptures. Let's go to the Scriptures. Could the Holy Spirit have a personality? Could the Holy Spirit have emotion? Isaiah 63:10 says this, "Yet they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. So He turned and became their enemy, and He Himself fought against them." So how could a force be grieved? Ask yourself that question. Only something with emotion can be grieved. I also want you to know that just because the Holy Spirit has emotions, that doesn't mean He is emotion. So when people get filled with the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak in other languages. They begin to praise and say hallelujah and praise God and prophesy and speak about things that they do not know, that they would not know, but the Holy Spirit is giving utterance. I want you to understand that's not emotion. Although some fake this manifestation, there are counterfeits of everything that is real. There are fakes, there are counterfeits. But I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit truly moves, the Holy Spirit is not emotion, but sparks emotion, but creates emotion in a person. But the Holy Spirit Himself is not emotion. When God's Spirit connects and communes with your spirit, there will be manifestations. The Holy Spirit will stir your emotion, but that's not all He'll do. He'll impart a peace that passes all understanding. He'll empower you to fulfill your divine destiny. And overall, He'll become the super on your natural. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the aspect of God that is at work among us and in us who believe the Son, who believe in the Son of God, who believe in Jesus Christ. Now let's go to John chapter 3. I'm taking you through the Scriptures. You want to know about the Trinity? Let's go to the Scriptures. Let's go to what the Word of God says about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John 3, 6 through 8, verses 6 through 8. And it says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So sometimes the Holy Spirit is moving, and we don't notice until it begins to take effect. We can't see Him, but we can recognize the signs that He's near, that He's moving, that He's manifesting His presence. He moves as He pleases and manifests Himself to those who humble themselves. Open your heart and mind and receive the Holy Spirit. Open your heart and mind to the possibility of the manifestation of God's presence in your life and in your walk with Him if you're already following Him. There are so many that are caught up in religion that say, you know, I've heard the words Holy Spirit, and this was me many years ago. I've heard the words Holy Spirit, those two words, but they're nothing more than two words to me. I don't know the Holy Spirit's touch. I don't know His presence. I don't know how He could empower me. Well, open your mind and heart and say, God, if you have more for me and it comes from your spirit, reveal it, show me, fill me, and open yourself up. When you choose to allow Him to manifest Himself in your life, you'll experience peace, wholeness, restoration, and empowerment. You may sense something like heat or a light wind or even water as the Spirit of God moves through you. Jesus said you'll be filled, or you'll have rivers of living water that flow through you, that you'll be filled with the Spirit in this way. As He moves through you, He'll convict of sin and convince you of the truth of the gospel. The Spirit of God always bears witness to the truth. He bears witness to the Word of God and the will of God. So I hope that clarifies somewhat what the Trinity truly is, what the Trinity truly is from the gospel, from the Word of God, from what God has given us and laid out for us in His Word. But also, God has given me revelation on this subject. So if you have questions, I will answer them with the Word, but I'll also tell you of my experiences with the Holy Spirit. It's hard to know someone, to truly know them, unless you've spoken with them, unless you've encountered them, unless you've spent time with them. And I do know the Holy Spirit intimately, just as I know Jesus intimately, and I want you to know the Trinity as well. I want you to know who your Heavenly Father is, that you are a child of God, that you can be a child of God if you're not right now. There's only two masters. You can serve the enemy, which is Satan, or you can serve Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So I want to give you the opportunity to accept him and to begin to follow him as Lord and Savior, to make him the Lord of your life right now. First, I'm going to pray, Father, Lord, impart revelation, Lord, right now, an impartation that each person out there would have the veil lifted from their eyes, that they would see the truth of your word, that they would understand the Trinity and the mystery of your gospel, Lord God, that they would not be lost in deception and falsehood, Lord God, and that is being taught right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that you draw those who don't know you unto yourself, that you draw the lost unto yourself, that you bring the backslider back home, Father. So right now, if you want to say this prayer and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, say this prayer with me. Believe in your heart that he's real. It just takes that small measure of faith, that mustard seed of faith, that tiny little bit of faith that it's true and you can be saved. So say this prayer with me and believe it as you speak it. Father God, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, and purify me by your spirit and by your blood. Jesus, I believe that you died and that you rose from the grave, that you're resurrected, and that you live forevermore. I make you the Lord of my life and my Savior this very day. Lord, give me the strength, the wisdom, and all that I need to follow you for all of my days with all that I have. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, you're now a child of the Most High King. You're a child of God, and I want to help to equip you with all that you need. So reach out to me if you said that prayer, if you received Christ, or if you have any questions about the Bible or about God.